everybody. Welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen, and today is April 20th. Today, if you wouldn't mind me getting personal a little bit, today would be the 29th birthday of my oldest niece. We lost her when she was almost 2 years old. And every year on her birthday, we like to celebrate and honor her and remember her by doing kind deeds for others. So I figured I would use my platform and invite you today, if you wouldn't mind just loving someone extra today, serving someone extra today in honor of my niece. I would be so incredibly honored by that. Also, today is the last day of this week's Come Follow Me blog, and next week we're going to be jumping into what might be my favorite book in the whole Book of Mormon, the Book of Mosiah, and we're going to be studying chapters 1-3. So I am really looking forward to next week and jumping into Mosiah. But for now, let's finish up this week's Come Follow Me blog in the Words of Mormon. Now, to start out, I'm going to start out with a story by President Monson. He told this story in 2012 in a talk called Consider the Blessings. And I'm just going to tell the first part of the story, and then I'm going to pause, and then I'll finish up the story later. He says, "Years ago, I was swimming laps at the old Deseret Gym in Salt Lake City when I felt the inspiration to go to the university hospital to visit a good friend of mine who had lost the use of his lower limbs because of a malignancy and the surgery which followed. I immediately left the pool, dressed, and was soon on my way to see this good man." So now we're going to pause there, and I want you to consider this question. Have you ever acted on a prompting, not necessarily knowing why? And maybe you didn't even recognize it as a prompting. You just did something and you thought, "I don't even know why I'm doing this, but here I am, I'm going to do it." I feel like more often than not, my promptings come to me that way, in ways that I don't even realize it's a prompting until after the fact. And so think about that. Have you had that experience before? Today we're going to talk about the Words of Mormon, which is a really different book than anything that we've read so far. So far, all the books that we've read are in chronological order, right? It starts with Lehi and his family in Jerusalem, and then it goes all the way up into Amalekai in the Book of Omni. But now here we have the Words of Mormon, which was written in 385 AD. So years and years and years and years and years after Amalekai finished the Words of Omni, Mormon wrote this little section. And he wrote this after he had already abridged the large plates of Nephi, but he decided that he was going to put the small plates in with the large plates. And here, he just kind of gives us this little explanation of why. Take a look at verse 4, and Mormon's going to explain why he liked the small plates. It says, "And the things which are upon these plates, pleasing me, because of the prophecies of the coming of Christ, and my fathers, knowing that many of them have been fulfilled, yea, and I also know that as many things as have been prophesied concerning us down to this day have been fulfilled, and many as go beyond this day must surely come to pass." So he says, look, I like these plates because first of all, they prophesy of Christ. And keep in mind, Mormon is writing after Christ had already come. And so he's saying, these things are all prophesying about this event that actually took place. And I know that they happened, and my brethren know that they happened. And so there are prophecies in this book and in these plates about things that haven't happened yet. And so because all the other things that are in these plates have happened, and I can testify that they happened, I know that everything else is going to happen as well. But then take a look at verse 7 and why he included them. It says, "And I do this for a wise purpose, for thus it whispereth me according to the workings of the Spirit of the Lord which is in me. And now I do not know all things, but the Lord knoweth all things which are to come. Wherefore he worketh in me according to his will." So essentially, Mormon is saying, so I've received a prompting that I need to include these small plates with the large abridgment, and I don't get it. I don't understand why, but I do know that God understands things that I don't understand. And so I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to include these small plates in with the larger ones. Now, think of early church history with me. In 1928, you've got Joseph Smith and Martin Harris, and they're working on the translation of the Book of Mormon. And Martin Harris's wife is super skeptical. She's having a really hard time believing in the golden plate. She's having a really hard time believing in the work that they're doing. And so Martin Harris, in order to appease his wife, goes to Joseph and he says, "Hey, can I just take her some of these things that we've transcribed? Can I take her some of these manuscripts that we've worked on?" And Joseph says, "I don't know, I'll ask the Lord." And he asks, and the Lord says no. And Martin says, "We'll ask him again." And he does. And the answer is still no. And eventually he asks enough that the Lord is like, "You know what? Do what you're going to do. I've already given you my answer, but do what you're going to do." And so, again, if you're familiar with church history, you know the story. Joseph gives the manuscripts to Martin, who shows his wife. The manuscripts are lost, whether by deception and malice or by negligence. We don't know. But they are lost and they are gone. And Joseph is given a commandment by the Lord not to retranslate because the manuscript had fallen into the hands of evil men who the Lord says would change the manuscript. And then when Joseph retranslated, they'd say, "Oh, look, they're not the same." And so the Lord says, "Do not retranslate these." And so instead, Joseph is commanded to translate the small plates, at least this portion of the small plates. And that is 1 Nephi all the way through the Book of Omni. Now keep in mind, on the small plates, they were supposed to write the most spiritual things, the prophecies, the revelations. And so I hate to say, "Oh yeah, I'm super grateful that Martin Harris took those manuscripts and that they were lost." But think of the incredible, incredible doctrines, the spiritual powerhouse that we find in this first part of the Book of Mormon. It's all fantastic. I love all of the Book of Mormon. But there is a little bit of a difference between the vision of the Tree of Life and the word chapters in Alma, right? Not that we can't learn from both of them and get good things from both of them, but the power that we find in this first part of the book, because this is what came from the small plates, is incredible. And what's fascinating to me is that Mormon included those small plates with the large abridgment saying, "I don't know why I'm supposed to do this, but I know that God knows." And so here we see that God, knowing the end from the beginning, knowing that Martin Harris would eventually lose those manuscripts, prepared a way for us not to lose the history of Nephi and Lehi leaving Jerusalem, coming to the Americas, and establishing a people here. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows the intricate details of our lives, and he is involved in all the details and prepares a way. I find so much comfort in knowing and understanding that. Now, my friends, knowing that Mormon did something and he didn't necessarily know why, but he knew he was following a prompting, consider that question I asked you at the beginning of the podcast today. When is a time when you have followed a prompting or a thought and it turned out exactly the way it was supposed to turn out? You ended up blessing someone or being safe from something, and only afterwards did you realize it was a prompting. Now, keep that in mind. Think of that experience as I finish President Monson's story. He says, "When I arrived at his room, I found it was empty. Upon inquiry, I learned that I would probably find him in the swimming pool area of the hospital, an area which was used for physical therapy. Such turned out to be the case. He had guided himself there in his wheelchair and was the only occupant in the room. He was on the far side of the pool near the deep end. I called to him, and he maneuvered his wheelchair over to greet me. We had an enjoyable visit, and I accompanied him back to his hospital room, where I gave him a blessing. Later, I learned from my friend that he had been utterly despondent that day and had been contemplating taking his own life. He had prayed for relief, but began to feel that his prayers had gone unanswered. He went to the pool with the thought that this would be his way to end his misery, by guiding his wheelchair into the deep end of the pool. I had arrived at a critical moment in response to what I knew was inspiration on high." My friends, I testify that the Lord is in the details of our lives, and that if we will pay attention to the good thoughts and the inspiring thoughts that come to us, and if we'll be willing to act upon them, whether we know if it's inspiration or whether it's our own thoughts, more often than not, I believe that we'll find that our Father in heaven is guiding us through those thoughts and is blessing the lives of those around us through us. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.